We're having our own little garden talk here. And lost track of time. Here we have Mardell and Melissa.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's going on?
Well, we're going to start out today with a few announcements, and then we're going to get into our questions. And so the first thing I want to just briefly mention to everybody who's a gardener, to put on their calendars, February 24th through 26th this year, there is going to be a Grower Summit in town. That is a conference for... it's going to be focused specifically on commercial growers, but that does not mean that there is not going to be information there that is of interest to everybody who grows food here in town. So I just want you to, we don't have any details or anything on it yet, but just put those dates on your calendar. That's a pretty for sure that it's going to happen on those dates. So
and those dates again are?
February 24th through the 26th.
Okay.
It's a weekend. Yeah. So there will be other gardeners, other people coming from out of town. And so we will probably be asked to do some hospitality for those people, but that will all be coming later. So,
and that's a nice time to begin to think that spring might actually come again.
That's true. Yep, the days start getting longer. So, so one other thing that I want to mention is we're going to try to keep these garden conversations going through the winter because of, like, was talked about on last garden conversation. A lot of the planning or a lot of the gardening actually happens by the fire in the winter. And we would like to be along with you conversing about that through the winter. So we are going to try to have topics. You know, people's questions probably are not going to come in all winter. And so we are interested, if you have any topics that are of interest to you, please send them in to our KHNS garden@khns.org. And if it bounces back, try again. We've been having a few problems the last few days because Janine's gone, but it should work. And any topics, and just to get your ideas flowing, I'm gonna mention a few topics that we're looking at: fruit trees, soil fertility, location and rotation of crops in the garden, berries, row covers, and microbes going along with soil fertility. So those are just a few that we're thinking about. And so send us your ideas and send us your interests. So now on to some garden content.
Some garden content. So last week, Michelle Zeiger was one of our people on the radio, and she was going to share her mission statement and then
couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm. So here it is, and it's beautiful. So her mission statement is, "My simple garden is organic, edible plants that are hardy to zone 6. It nourishes our souls as well as our bodies by being well-planned and lovely to look at."
Nice.
So that's a really, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's a sweet one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful statement.
And that is a good thing to do, sitting by the fire when you can have time to contemplate what's important to you.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, we're so busy in the summer, and it's nice to have reflective time in the winter.
Yeah.
So the questions that we're going to deal with today really focus on things that can still be done in this gentle but wet now fall, because we still do have some plants out in the garden, and things that we can begin to do to continue to garden through the winter. So the first question that we had is from somebody: I want to bring in herbs for the winter, but what types work and what types don't?
Okay, I will start answering that. And I will say that from my experience, don't expect your herbs to be terribly prolific in the winter. Although Melissa and other people put them under lights, which makes them more prolific. But especially if they're not under light, you can make a herb plant last through the winter, and you may be able to take some leaves off your basil and your rosemary and whatnot. But don't expect them to do the same as in the summer, just because plants need light, and we don't have much light here in the winter. So, but that being said, if you're going to bring a plant in, dig it up, trying to get as many roots as you can, because you want to have the least transplant shock for your plant as possible. So try to get all the roots. Take a big, big thing and put it in a big pot. And also, it's going to help if you can leave it outside so that it can have transplant shock in small doses. So leave it outside, let it get used to the pot, and then bring it in, and then it can get used to the indoor climate. So I'll mention another option is if you don't want to bring the plant in, you can also do a cutting. Sometimes that works better for people, just to take some cuttings off, dip the bottoms in rooting hormone, and then stick them in after they root, then you can stick them in a potting soil or your pot or however. So it's just another option to think about if you don't want to bring the whole plant in.
And when you dip it in the rooting hormone, do you then put it into water, vermiculite, or soil, or what do you do with
you
that?
You can do different things. What I do is I just put it in some soil, some potting soil. But if there's a plant that's really sensitive to not wanting to root, different ones, like basil, I'll stick in water because basil will sprout very easily just stuck in water. It doesn't even need any rooting hormone. So different plants are different, and I would encourage you to do a little bit of research. Just go Google it, and you might be able to find a little bit about that out. So,
or do your own research.
Yeah, that's right. So,
okay.
So
what about with rosemary?
Well, most people that I've talked to have luck in keeping their rosemary alive for a couple years, but then it dies. And so I feel right in the same club as everybody else. Except Leslie has said that she has had success in keeping her rosemary going for quite a few years now by, believe it or not, bringing it in the house and letting it go dormant in her basement in a really cool temperature, like 40 to 50, and keeping it there for the winter. And she's been able to keep it going. And so that's one solution. I also believe that some rosemaries are hardier than others and whatnot. So do you grow rosemary?
I do. And mm-hmm. I grow my herbs in pots mm-hmm. with the purpose of being able to bring them in the winter. I have a greenhouse attached to my house where I have artificial light, and I keep that at 60 degrees. And some things do really well. Rosemary does, thyme, oregano. Mm-hmm. Some of those kinds of things.
Those are cool weather herbs. Thrive in cool weather, where basil is much more of a hotter, warmer climate.
Yeah, and I have not had very good luck with basil. They're coming into a greenhouse that's heated with a Toyo stove, and basil just, I'm done.
Yeah.
But other things do fine, and I've kept those for many years that way mm-hmm. until they outgrow the pot and the pot becomes too heavy to move around.
So there might be some value in what you're doing in that you're not having to traumatize those plants at all by moving them in and out of pots. So
right.
just keeping them in the pot is probably less trauma, and if you've got the ability to do that, the space and whatnot, that makes sense.
Yeah, one of the things that when I bring them in is I'm really careful to wash them off to make sure there's no aphids or any other kind of bugs or snails. Mm-hmm. Slugs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, okay, so that's about herbs. So
Let me add a couple of other things besides herbs.
Okay.
Chard, particularly white chard, can be transplanted and brought inside and can be successfully kept for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I've kept it most of the way through the winter. Kale also will do really well, and I've got kale and leeks in pots this year.
So you dug them out of the ground, or were those in pots?
They were in pots.
Okay.
Yeah, basically kale has become a weed in my yard. Mm-hmm. It's just everywhere, mm-hmm. and so I planted my leeks this year, some in raised beds, and those I've harvested. But the ones in pots I brought in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of a full little greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to play in.
Well, that fits in with the question of somebody said, my garden produce is finished now. I still want to have fresh greens. How do I do that? And so that's one way.
To have them in pots and to bring them in. The other thing that I've found that works is to plant some of lettuce, Asian greens, and kale in pots. And I do this successfully in a succession every couple of weeks. Fill the pot 2/3 to 3/4 with regular potting soil, and then the top 1/3 to 1/4 with seed starting mix, and then plant, and I'll do the mesclun, cut and come again, mm-hmm. lettuce, Asian greens, kale. That seed starting mix is really good for getting the seeds going, but if it's all seed starting mix, it doesn't seem to have the right nutrients mm-hmm. once the roots get down a little bit further. So mm-hmm. the bottom 2/3 to 3/4 regular potting soil, the top 1/3 to 3/4 seed starting mix and keep it under artificial lights, and it will do okay.
Mm-hmm. Even under artificial lights, it's going to do okay.
Okay.
You know, plants...
Not great.
Plants have... they're the same as our human bodies. They know that it's time to slow down, and things just don't grow as well here in general. But but I have seen that proven different. I have been up to Fairbanks and seen their greenhouse growing amazing things in the middle of the winter. So...
Artificial lights?
With artificial lights.
And there is a whole research piece we could address at some point about what kind of artificial lights, you know, different light spectra that work for different kinds of plants.
So I guess all I'm saying with that, it is possible to do, but it takes some work and some knowledge. And so, and some people like to take that on as a challenge, and not me. So in also in answer to this question of wanting to get greens in the winter, I've discovered that there is a trend here in Haines of microgreens. And so I am hoping that in the very near future, I'm going to have somebody who knows about what they're doing in growing microgreens come on the radio here with us and talk about that, because there's a lot of people that are really into that. And that is a way of getting greens in the winter. So... And so now, microgreens are different than sprouts. My definition, as I understand it, the difference is that microgreens are grown in a soil medium, and sprouts are grown in a jar or I have done various things, plastic little things made for sprouts. And you can very successfully do it, but I've come to the conclusion that growing sprouts is a personality issue. Because if it's left to my... responsibility in my house, my sprouts will die, because it takes somebody who is into routine and who is into attention to detail to make sure that they get rinsed at least once a day, twice a day, at least, probably. My husband's very good at that. And so he keeps the sprouts going, and they'd all die if I had to do it. So if you have the sort of personality, you can grow sprouts very successfully.
Is there a difference nutritionally?
And sprouts?
Between sprouts and microgreens.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know that for sure. You're getting a little bit more of the plant with microgreens because you're letting the first true leaves come out, and
that's
then you
true.
Cut them off. Whereas sprouts, you're just getting those cotyledons and so I don't know what the question. That's a good question that we'll ask people who have know a little bit more about it. So
okay.
And another question related to that: when you rinse the sprouts, are you Now, you are on well water. What would happen if you're using city water with chlorine?
That's a good question, because chlorine does not do well on those baby little plants. So it might be worth, but, you know, getting rid of chlorine is pretty easy. Just take and set a pitcher of water out on the counter for overnight, and the chlorine dissipates quite easily. So, but that might be something to consider if you're rinsing your sprouts. So, okay.
We are running out of time.
We are, yeah.
So if anybody has a good method to grow mung bean sprouts and getting them cleaned of the seed hulls, please write in garden@khns.org and tell us how you are doing that.
Yeah, that's a different – doing seeds is, you know, radish seeds and whatnot is quite different than doing mung bean sprouts. Yeah. And so I haven't been able to do it, so I'm interested. So.
Yeah. So we still want to talk another day about storing flower bulbs and bulbs to plant for the winter. But we are out of time.
We are out of time.
Again. So, so remember to send us your topics of what you're interested in through the winter, and put February 24th, 26th on your calendar, and that's
and
it.
And hope for spring.
Oh, no. I rather like winter myself.
I do,
so,
too.
Yeah.
It's such a calming time.
We actually have snow out the highway on our ground, so it feels a little bit more like mushy winter at this point.
So all the gardeners out there, rest while you can, because there will be another summer.
Mm-hmm. There will be. That's right.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mardell and Melissa.
Thank you, Joni.
Thank you.
Email your questions for Garden Talk at gardens@khns.org.